Well, happy Easter to you. Is everybody doing okay? Yes. Look, God said it's not going to rain on my day, right? And he brought the sun out in here in the low country. I love that. If you're joining us online, we are so glad you're here as well. But today, there's something that I like to bring in sometimes, the classics here. Let me see if you guys know this here. When I say he has risen, what do you say?
Risen.
All right, let's try it one more time. He has risen. I love that. I love participation. My name is Daniel Kasnave. I'm the pastor here at the Bridge Church, and God has been taking us on this journey over the past few years, but honestly, over the past few months, God's been doing something pretty special here, and the Holy Spirit has been moving, and we've been seeing him do a lot of incredible things, a lot of hope, a lot of spiritual encouragement that has happened over the last few months, and so we are so glad you are here. You're a part of this as well. I'm going to pray real quick, but we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, looking at the Easter story. I have quite a few supporting verses, but Luke chapter 24 is going to be our base verse. If you don't have your Bibles, we'll have it on the screens for you as well. And so we're going to dive right in. But I just want to pray for us, ask God to speak during this time. I do want to highlight real quick, right after this series, right after this Easter moment that we have together, we're going to launch a brand new series called Clarity. And the big question we're going to be answering is, where do I fit in this complex world? And so we believe it's going to be, I've already been studying ahead and looking at these particular things. And I would even say, as a Christian, sometimes it's hard. I'm already preaching, I'm going to stop. But it's already hard to go, what has God called me to do? I need some clarity on this. And so we're going to look at God's word and say, what came out of the mouth of God of saying, this is what I've called my children to do? And just to create this immense clarity so you and I don't have to walk into money. Monday, we can run into Monday knowing where God has called us. And so I want to invite you for the next few weeks as we're diving into that. I believe it's going to be pretty great for us to understand that and have confidence in that. But let's pray and just ask God to speak to our hearts this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you so much for each and every person that's in this room listening online. God, I believe that each and every person is not here by mistake, but you have divinely intervened in my life and their life to bring us together. God, I pray that you would do what only you can do, and that is change hearts, that is breathe life, and that is to give us hope, God, as we hear this story here today. God, I pray that I will decrease so that you may increase, and I pray that we would just take a moment, and I'm sure we're carrying a lot on our shoulders, and we can just place that at your feet for these next few moments. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I want to get you a little insight about me. I am a morning person. Is anybody else in here a morning person? Like, you love the mornings. You get up early. Morning is when my brain is functioning best. I love sunsets. You can try to take my man card. That's okay. But I love sunsets. I love to see the sunset. It's like this newness, this freshness, right? But the funny thing is I'm a morning person. But the opposite is true at night. In fact, I'm going to be honest, I'm a little terrified at night. I don't like the dark. I will sleep with every light in the house on. My wife can testify, and she's the opposite. She wants it like every light off and all of these things. And I'm like, oh, it's too dark in here. I can't sleep, right? I just can't feel that. And we have those two differences, and it's pretty funny. But I think about the morning times, and for me, it means one thing. And then the night times, but it must be something about the night. For me, it's a lot of things. As you can tell, I like to move. My mind moves about the same pace as my body. And at night, it just likes to race. It likes to run. And there's something about the night. And I think it's because, too, we don't necessarily know what is, say, so far in front of us. Because what? We can't see it, right? It's dark. I don't know. There's actually probably more questions than there are answers, right? I just have to trust that there's nothing there, or that there's furniture is going to be in the same spot, or my kid's not going to plant this Lego that's going to try to take my toe off later, right? All of these things. But all of that is a little bit more about me, and you think about that. But also, when we think about the Easter story, we had a Good Friday service where Jesus went to the cross, and he died on the cross. cross. And then they had this moment, which is we call a Saturday moment. And the Saturday moment was very much like that, but heavier. It was kind of like this dark moment where the disciples have been following Jesus. They gave their lives up. There was this one man that Jacob was talking about, Peter. He was this well-known fisherman, and he gave up his business. He's a generational fisherman. The Bible says he had many boats, and so he was probably doing pretty well for himself, and he gave all of that up to follow Jesus. Matthew, he was a tax collector. The Bible labels him as very well off. He was cheating people out of their money, but he had nice things, right? And he laid all of that down to follow Jesus because of what Jesus taught and that God was doing something in them. And then 3 years later, he goes to the cross and he dies on the cross. And here they are left on Saturday. And they're wondering, well, I hope he is who he said he was, right? Like he said, he told us all of these crazy things, but I really just didn't want to hear it. He was talking about that he was going to die and then 3 days later come back to life, but I'm just not sure. I saw him on the cross. I saw his body, and that was very, very real. And I, you know, and they have more questions than answers. And I think there are seasons for you and for me, I know for me especially, where life brings more questions than answers. Where it can feel pretty dark, or it can feel like I don't know what this next season may hold. In fact, God, I'm so uncertain. It's weighing heavy on my heart. It's weighing heavy on my mind. It's causing me anxiety. It's causing me worry. God, I am just not sure. I just don't know what is even happening. God, it sounds on Saturday, God was silent. He wasn't there in front of the disciples telling him what's going to happen. And in those dark seasons, sometimes you may even be asking and questioning, God, where are you? God, are you even still moving? Have you left me? What is happening? Did I do something wrong? What's going on, right? It's those Saturday type moments that we see. But there's this old saying that Sunday is coming. And just like the morning, how it brings this newness of life and this new hope in Christ here on Sunday, we're going to read the Easter story because the Sunday morning has come. And in Luke chapter 24, we're going to read the account. Is everybody still okay? Very good. So verse 1, it says this, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the woman took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men, clothes that gleamed like lightning, stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up, ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves and went away wondering to himself what had happened. They get to the tomb early in the morning, and I love this because the ladies, they wake up Sunday morning, and all they know is this is what I'm supposed to do. This is kind of my tradition. This is, I'm going to go there. I'm preparing these oils. I'm preparing these spices, and I'm going to go to Jesus. When they were not expecting the tomb to be rolled away. They were expecting to find Jesus' body, right? And so when they get there early Sunday morning, they realize that the stone has been rolled away. The guards that have been placed there in front of the tomb to guard it so that nobody would take Jesus' body, how they specially sealed the tomb, all of that was rolled away. And it's, of course, they're confused. They're wondering what's going on. And all of a sudden, two angels appear to them. And they do what every person in the Bible, when angels appear to them, what happens? They hit the ground, right? They're in fear. They're in awe. What is that? Like flashes of white lightning. And then they ask this question. this powerful, profound, incredible, life-changing question for you and for me. And they say, why do you look for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. You will not find his body. He has risen. He is not here. And these words ring true in the ladies. I'm sure they're just trying to process it. But you and I, the angel tells them the very next thing. They say, hey, I want you to remember what Jesus has said. Go back and remember. He said that he was going to give his life for the sinful. He's going to give his life to the hands of sinners. And then on the third day, he was going to rise again from the dead. And it says they remember what he said. When you and I, we get into those Saturday moments when our mind is racing. And I don't know about you, but my mind can go on a rabbit trail on a minute, right? Like on a dime. My wife cannot call me back twice, and I'm like, here we go. Something's happened, right? Like my kids, they're running down the street. I can't see them right now. They fell into a ditch somewhere. I don't know, right? Like it can run in rabbit trails quickly, right? Oh, my boss looked at me this way when I walked in. I'm fired. I know it. I know it. I know it, right? Like we run into these moments, but in those bigger Saturday moments when we're feeling that weight, we need to do what these ladies did. They knew, I don't know exactly what to do, and in fact, I got more questions than answers, but I'm going to go to what I know. I'm going to go find Jesus. You and I need to remember that truth, especially in those Saturday moments of going, you know what? I don't know everything. In fact, I got more questions than answers, but I'm going to get to Jesus. I'm going to get to what I do know. I'm going to get around people who are going to encourage me. I'm going to get into his word because I know that for all scripture is God-breathed, right? Like we see this in the Bible. We see this truth and going, I'm going to cling to what I know is true, and I'm going to get to Jesus the way that I, the only way that I know how. I'm going to get to church if I need to. I'm going to get around those people. I need to hear those words. I need to get to Jesus. And then you and I, we need in those moments, we need to do what the angel encouraged these ladies to do. He said, remember. Remember what he told you. Remember how he told you. You and I, we need to remember what Jesus told you. We need to remember who God has called us to be. We need to remember because the enemy is going to tell us otherwise. The enemy is going to tell you, you know what? You're worthless. You can't do it. You're on your own. In fact, you're what's wrong with the world. You don't even need to be here. But God says, I love you so much that I created you. I know every hair that is on your head. I know all of that about you, and I love you so much, I'm going to come and I'm going to die on the cross to take away your sins. If you will just trust me, if you will believe in me, we need to remember his words that he says to us, that he says to our world, and he says, I want to give you hope. I want to give you purpose. I want to give you life. And we need to remember that maybe God has given you a word. You've come to follow Christ, and then he's calling you into this new purpose, and he's saying, hey, I want you to do this. I want you to start this ministry. I want you to start doing this practice or this spiritual discipline. And because there's going to be times and days when we don't want to, right? There's going to be times when our feelings are like, you know what? I'm not into it right now. Or God may be calling you to something new that we're not sure about. And in our mind, we're going, I don't know enough. You know, I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough people. God, you don't know what my mind thought last night. You can't use me. Like, you can't do all of these things, but we need to remember what God has told us. And parents in the house, right? I mean, there are going to be days when you look at your kids and you're going to go, huh, they don't remember anything I said, right? Like, what's happening? But we need to remember what his word says. Train up a child in the way they should go, right? Or we may have friends that we're investing in or family members that we're talking to. And they're running astray and running away from us. And we're going, God, I don't even know. What am I even doing here? How is this even going to happen? Or maybe he has given you a word of, hey, I want you to do this in ministry. I want you to serve this way. I want you to do this in my world. And you and I are thinking another way. And the enemy's trying to stop us. But we need to remember what he has told us. I can remember when I was 18 and my mom's Honda Civic in the front seat when God, I was asking God, what do you want me to do with my life? And it was like this billboard in his like pastor, and I was like, nope, that's the Taco Bell talking. I don't even know what that's not me, that's not right. But I didn't answer that call until I was 23. I spent 6 years running from God going, I don't think this is right, this is not me, whatever it may be. But every time I would go back, and just like a calling does, it just kept pulling in, just kept pulling me in. Kept pulling me. It kept tugging on my heart. It's like the Holy Spirit was like, oh, you need to do this. You may be feeling the same thing. It's like, yeah, I can't get this out of my mind. It's like God's calling me to help with the youth. God's calling me to help with kids. God's calling me to do this or be a part of this community. And the enemy wants to make you feel like you are not qualified, and you're probably not. But Jesus says that I'm going to give you the helper. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to shape you into my image. And if you will surrender to me and you will trust me, I will help you get there. Let me work through you. And then you can point to those people and go, look, I don't have it all together, but Jesus does. And I'm following as close to him as I can. And he's changing me into a new person. And you want to come along? You can do this with me too. I can help you out as well. But if we remember what he has called me to do, see how good the Easter story is? That's just my intro. I'm just kidding. And as he continues on here, he gives us, remember how he told you. And then he goes into and he says, he is not here, for he has risen. And this is monumental for you and I. This is why Easter is so important. This is why it is so big. This is why I'm wearing a sports coat. I'm just kidding. But this is why it is so important for you and I, because it is the hinge pin of our faith. It is what we hang our coat on. It is the foundation, because if you're taking notes, I'd love for you to write this down. The resurrection proves that Jesus is who he said he was. The resurrection proves that Jesus is who he said he was. We read on Good Friday that 700 years, the prophet Isaiah, he prophesied and predicted that this would happen, that there would be one that would come, that they predicted John the Baptist. John the Baptist predicted that Jesus would come, and he would be the Lamb of God, and he would take away the sins of the world. Jesus came, and he predicted. You know that over 300 prophecies were fulfilled in the Old Testament from Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Over and over and over again, it was predicted, because there have been other people who have come back to life, which sounds kind of crazy in 2022, right? Like, for us, that's not a common occurrence. But we read the Bible, Lazarus, Jesus walked in, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. But Lazarus thought this was the end. Right? Lazarus thought this was over, but Jesus, he knew, he predicted it. And the reason Jesus knew is because when Jesus was talking, he began to teach us and to teach the church and to teach the people around us why this moment in history, why he came back to life, why he proved who he said he was. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said this, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus is saying the resurrection was a moment, but it's not just the moment. In fact, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He's saying the reason the resurrection happened is because I am God. The reason the resurrection happened is because I love you, and I wanted you to know that I was going to die for your sins and for my sins, and then I'm going to prove to you that I am who I said I am. I'm going to come back to life. I love when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost. He makes this declaration about Jesus in Acts chapter 2, verse 24. It says, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Peter declares, he says, hey, it's Jesus who was in the grave. If anybody else was there, then, God's going to have to intervene. But because it was Jesus, it is impossible for death to hold him down. It's impossible for the enemy to hold him down. Because it was Jesus, because he is the resurrection. He is the life. He is the way. He is the truth. It's because it was Jesus that we can all come around and go, oh, I can believe in Jesus. I give my life to him. I surrender to him, because he died, he predicted it, he died and then rose again. And if that is true, then everything else he said is true. It begins to cascade down through all humanity, through all the Bible, through our faith, and through every single day of our life. And then we can look back at John chapter 14 when he says, this peace I give you is not the peace that the world can offer, but only I can give you. And then John chapter 16, he says, I've said all these things so that you may have peace in me, that you will. Right? He's like, you will have trials. You will have sorrows. This world is broken. This world is sinful. People will betray you. People, all of these things. You will have Saturday type moments. But Jesus says, take heart, because I have overcome the world. We can believe that. We can rest in that. In John 14, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can believe that. We can place our life in it. We can place our eternity in it. Because that's who Jesus said he was. Jesus on Friday night went to the cross as the Lamb of God. And he rose again on the third day on Sunday as the Lion of Judah. And he held the keys of death in his hands. The resurrection proved that he is who he said he was. And you and I, when we place our faith in him, he takes those keys and he says, here, you're going to live with me in heaven forever. The keys of eternity are yours. Therefore, my children, I've come and I have made a way. This is why we celebrate. This is why Alan is in the back being so loud, because he's so excited, right? Because Jesus has rose again, and you have hope. I have hope. And on my very worst day, I get to stand before Jesus proclaiming his name. I am set free in Christ. Victory is under my name because of who Jesus is, not because of who I am. And when I place my faith in the faithful one, I can still have hope in those dark Saturday moments. I can have hope in the beautiful moments. I can have hope when I got more questions than answers. I can still have hope because of who Jesus is. It's because he is faithful. It's because he is love. It's because he is grace. And you and I, we can rest on that fact. We can surrender that in the resurrection. Was not this moment where everything stopped, but yet it was almost this starting point for you and I. It was like this ramp and just moving forward in motion. I love how A.W. Tozer says this. He says, the resurrection morning was only the beginning of a great, grand, and vast outreach that has never ended and will not end until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back again. It was like this moment for you and I to say, oh, everything is true. I've given my life to Christ. And because Jesus lives, now I can live too. Because Jesus lives, I can go and tell others about what Christ has done for me. He has given me hope. He has given me life. He has given me strength. And this is what changed, turned the world upside down for the disciples. They followed Jesus for 3 years, took his lessons. But then when they saw a resurrected Jesus, they said, oh, this thing is for real, right? Like they were like, wow, well, this is no joke. If he can come back, I know everything else he just told me for 3 years is true. And I'm going tenfold in. And that's why Peter, when Jacob was saying he denied Christ 3 times and he saw a resurrected Jesus come back to the shore to find Peter, right? Like that's our loving God. And that's why he said, I'm giving my whole self. I'm diving back into Jesus. I can't believe this. This is incredible. And I love this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Everybody still okay? Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is the Apostle Paul who came later, wrote most of the New Testament, but he's encouraging the Corinthian church. But I want you to read this about the resurrection because it's pretty powerful. It says, I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I saw him. I love this because it changed their lives. When people saw the resurrected Jesus, they were going all into the plan that God has for us. And for you and I, we need to have the same response, because God will use a surrendered heart to advance his kingdom. God will use a surrendered heart and he will begin to heal the things in our past. God will use a surrendered heart and he will take that worry that we're carrying when we place it at the feet of God. And he's saying, I'm going to replace that with hope. And as I began to pray about the Easter message, and I do this, especially on Saturday night, I'm like, God, is there anything else you want me to say? Is there anything else, God? I'm your mouthpiece. Just tell me, God, just make sure that it's not nothing crazy. Anyway, but all these things, right? But this whole week, I could not get these 3 words out of my heart. And that usually means that's one for me and somebody else needs to hear this. That hope is alive. Hope is alive for your life. Hope is alive for my life. You may have walked through these doors. You may be listening online and going, Daniel, I'm going to give this church thing a shot, but I don't think there's any hope. I'm going to give this up, but I don't think there's any hope for the future. And I'm here to declare to you today, remember what he had said. Jesus says, I have come and I want to make you more than conquerors in Christ. He's saying, I'm not everything's going to go your way, but even in the midst of trials and suffering and hurt, I'm going to give you victory. Even in the midst of trials and suffering and heartbreak, I'm going to give you hope, because your hope is not placed in the situation or the circumstance. Your hope is resting in a resurrected, alive Savior. That's why I say hope is alive. Hope is alive for you. Hope is alive for me. Hope is alive for the church today. You may watch the news and go, oh, evil is running rampant. There's too much darkness. And I'm here to declare that the church is still alive and well. COVID can't knock it down. We need to go underground. We don't need a building. We'll go underground, right? Because hope is alive. The church is not based on what is happening around this world. Our hope is based on the resurrected Savior. Amen. And that's the truth that we get. That's the hope that we get in Christ. That where we get to declare, there'll be a day where I'm no longer here. And there'll be people around in my funeral. Hopefully it's more like a party than people being sad. But you know, because I hope I ask them the same question that the angel said, right? Why do you look for the living among the dead? Daniel is not here. Daniel is in heaven. I know where my eternity stands. I know that I'm a child of God. I know that the Lamb's Book of Life holds Daniel Lewis Casnave, not because of what I have done, but because of a faithful God, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross 3 days later, rose again. And I am 1,000% sure. You know why? Because he came back to life and he proved who he said he was. You can have that same promise. You can have that same truth, that same, you know what, confidence of knowing who you are in Christ. In the Bible, Jesus says, I have come to set the captive free. And there may be sin in our life. There may be heartache and things that happened in our past that are holding us captive, holding our thoughts, our minds. And God is going, I want to set you free from that. I want to heal you from that. It may not happen overnight. There may be some people in our lives that we're holding on to forgiveness, and it's unforgiveness, and it's weighing us down. And God is going, I want to free you from that. I want you to live free. I want you to walk out of this place knowing that hope is alive. And as I get ready to close here, the band's going to come back up for worship. I want to close here because we read Luke chapter 4, which is this incredible descriptive moment of the resurrection story. But then we know that the Gospels are almost like different camera angles in a movie, right? And how we see other sections and other points of Jesus' life. And in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 16, there's this the same story of the resurrection. And in fact, Mark was a close companion of Peter. And most of the scholars believe that Mark's account was Peter's eyewitness's account. And I love this account here in Mark chapter 16. And this is so good for you and I. Mark chapter 16, verse 6, it says this: Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples, and this is where it gets good. Go tell his disciples and Peter. I love how specific the angel is, right? He's like, hey, oh, you're going to go. I want you to tell all the disciples that I'm back alive. He is not here. He is risen. I'm going to go before them. I'm going to meet them in just a little bit. But make sure, he's like, listen, make sure Peter knows too. You're like, what does Peter need to know? As Jacob said, Peter denied Christ 3 times. Peter was the one that was like, I'm all in for you, Jesus. I'm here. I'm ready to go. I will go to the cross for you, Jesus. And Jesus goes, Peter, you got your heart on your sleeve. You're excited. I see you're excited, but you're going to deny me. In fact, you're going to deny me 3 times. There's going to be a little girl. She's going to come up to you and go, aren't you the one that was with Jesus? He's like, I was with Jesus? What are you talking about? Somebody else said, hey, weren't you the one that was with Jesus? No. Why are you asking me? And then some time passed, we don't know, hour or so. Somebody else comes up. Hey, weren't you with Jesus? Aren't you a follower? Aren't you a Christian? Oh, not. I already told y'all. I don't know him. And the rooster crows. And it says that Peter began to weep. And he ran away. In his shortcomings, he felt like he failed. And I can't believe this. And Jesus comes back to life. And he goes, hey, make sure Peter knows that I'm back. Make sure Peter knows that hope is still alive. And I want to say that I want you to put your name there. Hey, make sure that Patty knows. Make sure that Michael knows. Make sure that Jillian knows. Make sure that Daniel knows that hope is alive. Make sure I'm back on the shore again. No matter how many times you have messed up, God is saying, come to me with a surrendered heart. Let me show you a new life. The old is gone and the new has come. There is no sin, no lifestyle that is too far outside of God's grace. And he showed us that here on Easter when he died on the cross and rose again on the third day. He's saying death couldn't hold me down, and I want you to have that same promise. And that's for you and I to rest in that fact. Go to Ann Peter. I want us as a church to even go back and go, you know what? Go tell his disciples and your neighbors. Go back and tell his disciples and your neighborhood. Go back and tell your disciples and the low country. Go back and tell the disciples and the United States. Go back and tell all around the world. Let them know he is not there. He has risen. No other religion on this earth can make that claim. That Jesus is alive. That hope is alive. Hope is alive for you as well. And I hope that you understand that. Because you may be in a Saturday moment. You may not even be in a Saturday moment, but you're in maybe a season. You're going, God, I just don't know what you're doing. I don't know what's going on. In fact, God, I feel like I've already messed up way too many times. Or, God, maybe somebody else in my life has messed up way too much. And now I got to figure this thing out again. Alone. I'm here to tell you, you're not alone. Jesus is saying, I can do a new thing. He said, in fact, I can take something that's dead and make it alive again. You may look at your situation and go, there's no hope. There is nothing that can happen. And God is going, just trust me. It may not be exactly to what you expected, but he wants you and I to know that you can rest on the fact that I will work all things out for the good of those who love me. He's saying, surrender your heart to me. Hope is alive. This Easter Sunday, I hope we walk out of this place knowing that my hope is not in my situation. My hope is not in myself. My hope is not in all the people that may be trying to tell me other things. My hope is in the name of Jesus. That is where my hope comes from. That is where my peace comes from. That is where my rest comes from. And I want you to have that same rest here today. So I'd love to pray for us as a church. And then we're going to sing together. But also, I want to pray if you've never given your life to Christ before. The Bible says that if you and I confess Jesus with our mouth, and if we believe that he died on the cross and rose again, that we will be saved. If we ask for forgiveness, we realize that we fall short. Sin means that we miss the mark. We realize that and say, God, I need you. And if we take that moment to surrender to God, he is faithful to forgive us of our sins. He is faithful to give us a new life in him. And so let's pray together. And if you want to pray to receive Christ here today, I just want to guide you through this prayer. It's the condition of the heart, and it's that declaration. And so just pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I realize that I have fallen short, that I have missed the mark. God, I ask that you would save me. God, I ask that you would help me. I ask that you would change me. And I pray that you would breathe life and hope into me now. And if you prayed that prayer here today, I don't want to embarrass you or have you stand up. There's a connect card in your seat. I'd love for you to grab that connect card and fill it out and just check the box. I have decided to follow Jesus today. I prayed that prayer today. You can take it to the connect center. You can bring it to me. I want to pray with you. Everybody, you can look back up at me. I want to pray with you. In fact, I want to celebrate with you. I want to give you a hug because, hey, we're going to be in heaven together forever, right? You're my brother and sister in Christ. And no matter what piece of land separates us, I can visit Honduras. I can visit California. I can visit New York. Wherever I go, but I meet another Christian, that's my brother in Christ. That's my sister in Christ. What binds us together is the power of the gospel. And so I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to walk with you. But I want to pray for us as a church too, as we get ready to sing. My prayer is that maybe God is stirring something in you. Maybe God's calling you to something new. And you've been sitting back going, I'm not real sure, God. I'm not real sure. I want you to know hope is alive. If God's called you to it, it's time to keep taking that step of faith. And every time you take that step of faith, I'm laying my expectations down to you, Jesus. Whatever you want to do, God. Here's a blank piece of paper. Here's my yes. I'm ready to follow you, God. And we can believe in Christ because we can believe on the resurrection. So let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. We praise you so much. God, thank you for the people in this room listening online. They are my family. They are the ones that breathe life into me, breathe life into our family. God, I pray that you would continue to unite us together as a church, that we're in this thing together, God. God, I pray that you stir souls right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that people experience your hope to know that hope is alive. God, I pray that we can rest on the promise. I pray that if somebody gave their life to Christ here today, God, it is a new beginning, a new pathway of life. And I pray that we can rally around them and walk through this thing called life together. God, I pray for the ones that are maybe having a Saturday moment here. And it feels like the weight of the world is on their shoulders. I pray that they can take that off and go, God, I'm taking my expectations. I'm taking all of that. I'm taking the hurt. I'm taking the pain. I'm laying that at your feet, Jesus. And I ask that you would take it, God. Because your promises says that, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden, and I will give you rest. God, we're praying that verse over us as a church. God, I pray that there would be new ministries birthed in this room. God, I'm praying that there may be this fire that was just a spark here, but right after today, God, it is a full burning flame, and that you would call us into the glorious hope of helping others experience this freedom in Christ, God. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.